Hey everybody, it's Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community. Thank you so much for tuning into the Outlet Community Podcast. We pray that you are able to experience the power of authentic relationships. If you're ever in the Atlanta area, we'd love to have you out. Just simply visit theoutlet.cc for more information of our service location and times. Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy this life-giving message. Open to Psalm 23. I want you to open to Psalm 23. This is going to be our landing ground for the entire Soul Therapy series. Psalm 23. Last year we did volume one of this. It was eight parts, and we didn't even scratch the surface. And so I knew the Lord wanted me to come back and now take and build upon what we've built. So I encourage you to go to theoutletcommunity.com, and you can find if you want to catch up on the previous eight parts of this just to kind of get some additional facts, then I encourage you to do so. But if it's your first time here, ain't nobody got time for that. I'm going to catch everybody up today so that we can move forward each week and build every week on the Word of God. I'm going to be establishing and entering my notes into the YouVersion Bible app. There's so much that I want you all to gather from this series. This is a neglected area in our churches. And people have been shouting, they've been running, they've been giving for 30, 40 years, and no one's changing. This is the difference between us being a church and us actually being a part of the community God has intended for us to be a part of. I don't think I can stress the importance of this series enough, because without what we will talk about over the next 5 weeks, I don't think I'm standing here today. Without what we're going to be going into and really turning over some sacred cows, I don't even want to think about where life would be right now. And I owe it to you to give you everything that has helped me in my life. I owe that to you. I feel like it's selfish if something has worked tremendously for me and I don't pass it on to you. That's weak. That's a sign of a weak leader. But if there's something that works, if it's a resource, I'm going to hand it to you. I'm going to share with you the different resources that I've been studying over the last few months to prepare for this series. You all will understand through this series why there are times I take breaks, why I don't preach every Sunday. Your organization is a reflection of the health of the leader, period. And if we don't take inventory on what's going on within us, I want to bring it down to your home, your house culture. The culture in your home is a reflection of the heads of that household and how healthy they are. So parents, you owe it to your children to get healthy. Singles, you owe it to yourself not to just live in turmoil and chaos. Married couples, you owe it to each other to be a place of safe haven and not, I can't stand it, I don't want to come home. You owe that to yourself. Because here's the truth. We are all in an all-out assault on our mental health and our spirituality on a daily basis. Make no mistake about it. The thoughts that go through your mind at different points of a day are having you question, does God really love me? Does he really care for me? Does he really know my name? The thoughts that you have, if you're married, you know, do I stay in this marriage? Do I want to be here? Parents, do I want to throw these kids off? The thoughts that go through your mind And you got to be equipped when those thoughts come, because you cannot control when you're triggered. And you cannot control when you're attacked. I wish we could. I wish the Lord would tell me, okay, so on this day, at this time, this is going to happen. He'll let you know the season, and he'll let you know to prepare. But you need to be ready when life happens. The majority of your issues are because of a hurting mental state in your life, and not because there's something actually wrong. It's the mental condition that we're in. How many relationships have we self-sabotaged because we weren't healthy? How many people do we push away because of the turmoil that's going within us? And honestly, because of sometimes bad teaching, we don't deal with hurt. We ignore it. But what happens is hurt undealt with is like an infection that doesn't get bandaged or doesn't get any ointment on it. It becomes infected. And so everywhere you go, you pass that infection that you gained from an unresolved issue. So you become the monster when you were at one time the person who gave life. This is serious because we can spiritualize our lives away in church. I can come up here and talk to you all about some spiritual concept that we more likely than not will not apply, will feel good, but we won't be any different when we go home. I don't want that. It's not the life I'm trying to live. I really want, and I see, a church filled with people who are free in the grace of God, but wherever your foot steps, people notice a difference about you. And that difference comes with a fully integrated emotional and spiritual health plan that you're sticking to on a daily basis. Because without an intentional commitment to emotionally healthy spirituality, you'll be living in the answer to your prayers, but you'll be unable to enjoy it because you have not resolved the pain of your past. Can you imagine actually receiving everything you're right now crying and praying for, but don't recognize it because you have unresolved pain in your life? So you don't actually get to enjoy the very thing that you thought God was withholding from you, and you realize that it's really me holding me back? That's why this is important. So you'll notice that it's going to be more flatfoot teaching. We can shout every now and then, but sometimes we need to just be grown folks and teenagers. Hey, every teenager that's here, and we just need to have some conversations. Is that cool, y'all? All right. Psalm 23. Well, I always got to put Bible on it because I'm not a self-help guy. I'm a person who believes in the power of the word. Psalm 23. We'll go verses 1 through 6. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd. This is powerful right here. Everybody, if you can see it, I want you to say this last line on the count of three. One, two, three. I have all that I need. Now let's repeat that at the very top. Let's go from the first line on the very top on the count of three. One, two, three. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's all right, all that I need. Let's repeat that one more time. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. All right, so what we're presented with is the common Christian truth that very few people rarely experience. Because if I asked you to, if I did a call and response, how many of y'all believe that God takes care of all our needs? How many of us would raise our hand and say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir? But in your mind, you're like, how, sir, how, sir, how? I'm going to push past our religious colloquialisms because I'm tired of them. flat out tired. Let me just be honest with you. If my church was going to be like every other non-powerful church out here, I wouldn't have started no church. No, my wife and I, we looked at each other a few weeks back. We started to count up, like, you know, how much did it cost us to start the outlet? I felt like Thanos when I looked at her and said, everything. but I am willing to risk my life on the very truth I'm going to share with you. I have risked my life for this moment. And if you're ever blessed to have something that you believe in where you're willing to give everything, and if it doesn't work, that's it, then you'll understand the urgency I have with us being an organization that is committed to emotional, healthy spirituality. All right. And then I'll just read here with verse 2. He lets me rest in the green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Verse 4, my wife did an awesome job in the exhortation by sharing this. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of mine enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. How many of you all have ever read Psalm 23 before? So this is going to be a fun set of 5 weeks, because I'm going to pull out things that aren't necessarily visible to the eye in this simple passage. The first thing I want to bring to your attention about Psalm 23 is that it's sandwiched in between Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. All right, that's right. I did get my degree in biblical studies. Watch out. So in Psalm 22, it talked about and described Jesus leading up to his crucifixion. Psalm 23 talks about the result of Jesus dying, being buried, and raising again. It's what we call the finished work. So Psalm 23 is about what is available to us if you really believe Jesus did what he said he did on that cross and got up to enforce. Psalm 24 talks about his return coming again. So it's a beautiful timeline right here that we're reading in Psalm. But when I go to Psalm 23 and 1, I want us today to just focus on one scripture. One scripture. I want this to be so simple that you know what I talked about throughout the week. I'm not trying to wow or shock or whatever people like to do when they get up here and preach with their preacher voice. I want y'all to notice. So we're only going to focus on Psalm 23 and 1 today, which says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." Everybody repeat after me. Say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." If you need to plaster that, if you need to make it a wallpaper, maybe that's what we need to do. Hey, let's make a Instagram story size wallpaper of Psalm 23 and 1. So that way people can put it on their phones. If you have a Samsung, maybe you can put a sticky note on it. I don't know. The shade is real, I know. But Psalm 23 and 1, we're talking about the Lord is our shepherd. We have to understand what the shepherd is responsible for. The shepherd is responsible for leading, feeding, protecting, and procuring or securing rest for their flock. So when I say the Lord is my shepherd, that means if I don't know what to do, the Lord's going to lead me. If I don't feel like I have what I need, spirit, soul, and body, the Lord's going to feed me. If I feel like I'm vulnerable, I'm not stable, I'm not where I need to be, the Lord's going to protect me. But if I feel like I'm about to burn out because I'm going so hard, the Lord is going to bring rest to me. And because he's my shepherd, I have everything that I need. I want to submit something for your consideration today, and I want us to have an honest dialogue, an honest conversation here. I wonder if it showed up. Okay, so what we're seeing on the screen is something that is very familiar, which is called crabs in a barrel, or the crab mentality. Has anybody ever heard of the crabs in a barrel, the crab mentality? I know it's kind of interesting. So For those who aren't sure, aren't familiar with the crab mentality, it's a way of thinking that says, if I can't have it, neither can you. The metaphor references a pattern of behavior that's noted when crabs are trapped in a bucket. So when one crab tries to get out of the bucket, the other crabs go ahead and pull the crab back into the environment. The efforts of that crab are constantly undermined, ensuring that the entire group will always stay in that area for the rest of their life. We typically use the term crabs in a barrel to talk about our haters. If we could just get past holding each other back, we can go a whole lot further. But what if the crabs in the barrel are not people? I'd like to submit for your consideration that the term crab mentality is a reference to self-limiting thoughts within us. Let me prove a point with this. Has anybody ever heard the Lord ask you to do something great in your life? I mean, just by show of hands. I mean, you know it was Him that told you to do it. And has there ever been a time that you didn't do what He said to do? So you were in one particular level or bucket, box, barrel. The Lord gave you an opportunity or destiny to reach, but a self-limiting thought held you back. That's the crab mentality in us. So instead of thinking immediately that the crab mentality is someone else, let's first examine in us the crabby thoughts in ourselves. This is the importance of soul therapy. Because if I don't get to a point of health, I will stay stuck in where I've always been. Have you noticed that there's more in your heart that you want to do, but you sometimes are just too tired to even try again? In relationships, it seems like this relationship is going to work, but because of all the other relationships that you had before, I don't even know if I want to put my heart back into something like that again. So we first have to deal with the crab mentality that's within us. I want to present to you a question. If you're honest, what are some of the self-limiting thoughts that are holding you back currently? If I had to boil down every thought that comes against you, I could put it in three different categories. Every thought. First category is, of course, fear. Fear of failure, fear of the future, fear of inadequacy. The second area is insecurity. I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I'm qualified. And the third level that comes against you is doubt. Not doubting, is God God, but is God God for me? If you take every thought you've ever had, you put it in those three different areas, and you've got the crabs that you have to deal with on a daily basis. But before we move forward, I want to review so that we're all on the same page when I'm talking about soul. There are many definitions out about what is my soul, because if we're talking about soul therapy, we first need to agree that we're getting therapy on the same thing. And when I'm making a reference to my soul, especially especially because I want you all to deal with thoughts of insecurity, thoughts of fear, and thoughts of doubt, because I want our church, and this is the title of today's message, the first part of Soul Therapy Volume 2, I want us to escape the crab mentality. You deal with those three areas, you escape the crab mentality. Because we can only notice, Jesus, that's heavy. We can only notice the crab mentality in others because elements are present within us ourselves. Oh, that was that. Why did that? That was tight, but it's right. To the pure, all things are pure. So when something's not in you, you don't notice it in someone else. And I think I'll get to that in part four sometime. But what is my soul? The soul is commonly known as the mind, our thoughts, our imagination. Soul is also known as our will, or interchangeably used with our heart. I'll show you that here in a moment. And our emotions. So our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions. In the Hebrew and Greek, the word for soul can often be translated as life or the quality of life. Soul is translated as life or quality of life. Here's why, and you all, some of you all remember this from last year. That's why we do a review. All right. So, this is why soul is referred to as life or quality of life. Because the body, we're a three-part being, spirit, soul, body. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. Just because my ego needs it, I want to know, are y'all getting anything out of this? All right. That's the only reason why preachers say, because somebody say amen, we really want affirmation. Or are y'all getting, that's affirmation, like, is it good? So I gave y'all a secret. Anytime y'all hear another pastor say something, it's like, his ego needs to be stroked, all right? So that's why when you go in different environments, people struggle because certain environments aren't saying nothing. You could preach the ham off a backbone. And, I mean, they're just, you know, at the end, hey, great talk, brother. Like, I need an amen, you know, like hallelujah, like oh, what you say now? Like I need something. But 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Oh, this is good. I need to show you that we're a three-part being. Anytime I share truth with you, I need to give it to you in the Bible as well. All right. I'm really interested in you all knowing, not only knowing the Word of God, but understanding how to interpret Scripture for yourself. So you'll see a commitment to making sure you all are growing in your walk with the Lord. So 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." So I needed to, and there are more scriptures I could go to, but for the sake of time, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 shows you how we are a three-part being. And so we're going to deal with the middle area for the next 5 weeks because when it comes to, that's wrong. I messed up on this slide. Yeah. I need to review it too. So, this been wrong a whole year. That's why you got to come back and teach stuff again. All right, so on the left side should say body, not soul. See, I was just testing.
So this should say on the left side, golly, ain't that a shame? Well, where'd he get his degree from? All right. We dealing with this soul in the middle. And the soul, as I said before, is our mind, our will, our emotions. Because our body is what contacts the earthly realm. Without a body, you can't walk around. So when this physical body expires, that's why we have to go into a different realm. That's why, because we are spirit beings, we live forever. But in this particular natural realm, we need an earth suit to do it. And so our body is what is affected by stimuli. It's affected by our sight, our smell, and the other senses that I don't know either. But that's what contacts the earthly realm. Can I submit something for your consideration as well? We make the majority of our spiritual decisions based off the stimuli we receive from the earth and not from the spirit. So now we want to deal with our spirit, because in our spirit, that's where we see Psalm 23 and 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have everything that I need. Well, honestly, sometimes physically I don't. Sometimes in my mind, my will, my emotions, they're not all the way there all the time. So when I say I have everything that I need, I'm not referring to the soul or the body. I'm talking to my spirit. And this is where we have to understand that our spirit has been sealed by Holy Spirit, which means your salvation cannot leak out. Can't lose your salvation because of something you do. You can say that you don't want it anymore after a few other criteria are met, but you can't sin your way out of heaven. You can't. Because our spirit came into a marriage covenant with God. And in this marriage covenant, God said, wherever you're weak, that's where I get to be the provider for you. Wherever you don't have direction, that's where I get to lead you. Wherever you don't feel safe, that's where I get to protect you. Whenever you feel like you can't rest, that's when I can give you rest, because this is a covenant, baby. And we have to begin looking at our walk with God not as a list of rules that someone in the earthly realm told me, but we have to look in our spirit, because the Lord is the shepherd, or as David even said, the lover of my soul, and he's taking care of everything that I need. The thrust of Soul Therapy Volume 2 came from, I'm reading the Bible throughout the year, about 30 days behind, but I'm reading it throughout the year, and I was going through the book of Psalms, and I noticed how in love David was with the Lord. And it challenged me, because I didn't possess that same passion. And as the words of the prophets, earth, wind, and fire, after the love has gone, what used to be right is wrong. Hey there. I said, how come I don't have that same passion? It's because of the condition of my soul, not my spirit. So there are foundational truths that I want you all to know. The first truth that I want you to know is, again, we are a three-part being. Here's the tricky part. Our soul and our spirit are so intertwined that the only way you know, have you ever asked, is it me, God, or the devil? Like, which one? You ever been there? Like, who is this? Lord, is that you saying, push them down the steps? I hear you. The only thing to separate your spirit from your soul is the word of God. That's the only thing, not your intellect. This is why living according to the word, that takes another cut that I believe that you all are up for to do so. Because your feelings can make you feel some type of way. Your feelings are real. Your feelings are not fake. But your feelings are not reality. So I cannot deny a real feeling because that's how I'm really feeling. But I can't act on a real feeling until it aligns itself with Hebrews 4:12, the word of God. So people think, I just sense, like, it could be gas. It's a whole list of things it could be. But it needs to line up with God's word, period. But here's the thing. We don't spend time. So here's the challenge of soul therapy. Aligning what we know to how we act. And it takes a strong soul to do that. How many of you have read a fitness magazine, book, article, something that tells you how to get your best body in however many days? How many of you ever... And how many of us have our best body in however many days? It's not what we know. It's what we do. That's why I want to caution you. As pastors, look, there's a lot of stuff that we know. Don't get it twisted just because I'm saying it, I'm automatically doing it. Now, I'm not out here ratchet. I ain't trying to say that. But what I am saying is, it's the same challenge. I'm just the one with the microphone right now. I need God daily. I am not exempt from anything in this world. I have to live out the very things that I'm talking to you all about. So I don't want you to ever feel in condemnation when you're listening to a sermon like, oh my gosh, if I was just as perfect as them. No. We all have areas we need to update when nobody's around. But here's the thing. Let's commit to updating them. The final truth that I want you all to know, the third truth, is you know in your spirit, but you believe in your soul. Listen to what I'm saying. You know in your spirit, but you believe in your soul. 1 John 2:20, it says that you have an unction, you have a knowing. Your spirit knows the right answer every single time. Your spirit is never wrong. It's married to God. But until you act on what you know, the decision to do that comes from your soul. And can you now imagine when we've spiritualized the gospel only, and we've done no work at building up the quality of our soul, people have been living lives where they're these spiritual quoting giants, but these poor Christian disciples, because their soul is not being attended to. For anybody who's been in church any amount of time, you know what to do. Based on your soul condition, are you going to do it? I wanted to get out early today. That ain't happening. I appreciate that. They're like, speak for yourself. Y'all,
The majority of the sinful patterns that we have are not because we're bad people. It's pain you're acting from. So if we can deal with the pain, we'll improve the behavior. But if we don't talk for real in church, where are we going to go to know that it's okay to be Christian with issues? Where can I go to take my mask off of I've got it? I've got it under control. If I can't do it in my own church, we've got to be able to be honest and authentic with ourselves. Now, this is a quite large setting to just say, hey, I want to talk about something I struggled with for the last 10 years. Like, ooh, he nasty. Like, we're not saying do that, all right? But what we're saying is feel comfortable enough in your community to when we have smaller settings of life groups or our community teams where you can have some honest dialogue and say, y'all, this is how I'm feeling today. And when you give voice to your pain, you have just told Satan, I beat it. Yeah. Got to be honest with ourselves. And so, as this is a teaching series and not a preaching series, so I actually have goals and objectives that I want each week. But I'm going to give you the end goal because I'm not going to take you by surprise. I want you all to know what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, and how we're going to do that together by the grace of God. But here's the goal of soul therapy. I want to remove any perceived distance between you and an authentic relationship with God. Did you all hear the key word I said? Perceive, perception, which means starting next week, I'm going to deal with your focus. What are you looking at? What are you giving value to? We can live at the best version of ourselves if we get emotionally healthy enough to allow who we are in our spirit to go through the channel or the filter of our soul and then be demonstrated in our physical bodies. That's the key. That's holiness. Holiness means alignment of spirit, soul, body. Last year, I used a great analogy, which I still love to this day. Who remembers NBA 2K? All right. And now, the difference when NBA 2K first came out than NBA Live that I was so proficient in. NBA Live, I had to hit a couple buttons, and I just had to align two basketballs. NBA 2K said, hey, we want to increase the difficulty, so we want you to align two arrows to shoot free throw. If it was Ray Allen, it was simple. If it was Shaq, no can do. I want to make this Christian walk so simple and so freeing for you that you all right. How do I know? Either you in church or you listening to this podcast, you're doing okay with your life. But we can improve. And we want to align spirit, soul, and body. Well, how are we going to remove the perceived distance in our relationship with God? By empowering you to live in joy. What is joy? It's the awareness of unconditional love that guides your every life, every step of life. That's joy. But there are also factors that affect our ability to be aware. Because we're going to take a holistic approach over the next few weeks. Next Sunday after service, one of our fitness life groups, they're going to stretch and have stretching. I'm a watch. My nickname in high school was 2x4. That's how flexible I was. real story. But each week, I've partnered with a few people to help me because I'm not the subject matter expert of every subject. I'm not. And when I don't know the best, I'm going to ask the best to let me know so I can let you all know what the best is. And so from a physical or fitness standpoint, I partner with James and Kim Bell, who also lead a group called Fit Lifer. So it's a group that they meet on Facebook and they're getting some other fitness things together as well. And each week I ask them, I say, give me a pillar for fitness every week. So every week we're going to release a pillar of fitness for you just to have. We're going to give you things in incremental ways so that you can incorporate a better lifestyle. And then you can see all the things you prayed. And you can live the quality of life you've always known you should be living. I'm not into entertaining anybody. That costs a lot of money. I'm into impacting people because then we get to invest our time, our talent, and our treasure to improve where God has sent us. From a soul tip, we're going to give you a soul tip of the week, a practice that you can institute to help you if you're dealing with racing thoughts or anxiety. We're just going to give you things to help you out in that regard. And then spiritually, we're going to start a new Bible plan tomorrow. And it's going to be 21 days. And so spirit, soul, body. We're going to make sure that you're covered in bite-sized pieces so you can begin to incorporate new habits. Let's stand together. I just want to have a moment of prayer. Thank God for our teams and our life groups. They keep me so plugged in to everything that's going on in our community. There's no possible way for me to reach everybody all the time. It's not. I wish. But I have the right people in place who constantly feed me news, information. Hey, did you know this? Did you know that? Did you know this? Did you know that? One thing that I've noticed is that our community is under attack. And people are being hit from the left and the right. What I want is an organization and a ministry healthy enough to say, I might not have it all together, but I got you. And I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to lock arms with you. And I'm going to make sure that you don't go through this life by yourself. Sometimes when we're facing tests and trials in our life, we're tempted to go in isolation. And we're tempted to run away from everybody and try to handle it on our own. I'm going to caution you against that. There are authentic relationships that are right here in this room today that you can begin to build and be honest and say, hey, look, can you just keep me accountable or can you pray for me in this area? I've got this going on. I'm thinking this. I'm thinking that. We've got to do that for each other because we are under spiritual attack. Spiritual attack then bleeds over into our soul and tries to get us to warp how we're viewing and seeing things. But when we go back to the source, which is our time with God, we realize that the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. So if you would just join me right now, just in a time of prayer. I pray for another cut of spiritual fortitude in this community. We might get hit, but we don't go down. We might be under attack, but no weapon formed will prosper. Pray we be a people of love that encourages one another to live out what God has called them to do. So hands are lifted, eyes are closed.